Welcome back, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a fine guest co-host with me for the remainder of this hour. It's Angela Lang from Block. And we are now joined by two great guests to talk about fusion voting and the recent lawsuit that was fired to allow us all to actually express our values in the voting booth. Who knew? We've got Jeff Mandel, attorney from Law Forward, and John Franke, an attorney for United Wisconsin, former assistant district attorney in Milwaukee. You may remember John if you've been around Milltown for a few years. He helped with the prosecution and led the prosecution of Frank Balistrieri. It was, what did they call it, like the Super Bowl of trials or the World Series of trials back then. Quite a feat. Welcome, gentlemen, to the show. Let's start with the basics, John. I'll kick it to you. Tell us, what the heck is fusion voting and why haven't we ever heard of this?
Well, it's really very simple. You haven't heard of it, I guess, because it hasn't been around in Wisconsin for a while. But it's simply a process where the law allows two political groups to nominate the same person for a particular office. It's really that simple. Right now, under the Wisconsin law, once someone has nominated a candidate, another group cannot nominate that same candidate. With fusion voting, another group, another political party, is allowed to nominate the same person and seek their interest in that party's platform.
So to be clear, instead of having, for example, one Green Party candidate, one independent, one Republican, one Democrat, you might have a Green Party and Republicans nominating and supporting the same candidate. Am I getting this right?
Yes, although that example may not be the most likely. In Wisconsin, for example, you might not be surprised to see, say, the Libertarian Party and nominate the same person that nominated by the Republicans. You might see the Green Party decide to nominate the same person nominated by the Democrats. They wouldn't have to do that. And then these other party, minor parties, would still be free to nominate their own candidates if they want to, but they would have the choice, the option, to support a candidate who had a realistic chance of winning.
So, Jeff, if you can, and by the way, John, I picked those examples because they were strange bedfellows indeed. Please do not take my hypo as a lack of knowledge about who is likely to align. But Jeff, and then I'm going to toss it to Angela for her questions. So why is this preferred to how we've got things now? Like, what advantage for the average voter does fusion voting provide?
Well, most voters in Wisconsin and around the country say that they don't fully agree with either political party. And they are forced into a situation where they have to choose. How often have we heard that an election is a choice of the lesser of two evils? And the idea here is that this would give people more choice. It would give people additional options because it would allow smaller parties to a way to grow and build so that you don't feel like you're choosing between a candidate you don't fully support, or maybe there is a third party candidate who you're really excited about, but you know that if you do that, you're throwing away your vote. And so this is a way to allow those parties to grow and build. And it has deep roots in Wisconsin history. This is how the Republican Party was formed in Wisconsin before the Civil War, is a whole bunch of anti-slavery parties came together in Ripon, Wisconsin, and agreed that they were going to use fusion to support each other. And the result of that was the end of the Whigs as a major political party and the creation of the Republican Party that really swept the nation. And once it did, the Republican Party in the states where it had control, like Wisconsin, and the Democratic Party in the South where it had control, banned fusion voting because they'd seen that it was good for voters. It gave people more choice and more power, and they wanted the parties wanted the power for themselves. So they banned fusion voting so it couldn't happen anymore.
So as an organizer, and I'm sure there's so many of my colleagues that are also like very intrigued and thinking of how this could play out. And I think you started to get into it a little bit, but can you explain like how it actually could lead to higher turnout or more engagement in the democratic process in this way? Because I'm hearing it, but it's like, let's be explicit of like how this also is good for democracy and voter turnout too in the future.
Well, I think it's great for democracy because it creates opportunities for parties and candidates to match more closely with voters. So let's think about 2024, for example, right? We had this really spirited primary challenge by Governor Haley, and it fell short. And there was all this talk about, well, where are the Haley voters going to go? They were Republicans, most of them, but many of them were not huge Trump supporters. And so were they going to stick with their party and vote for Trump, or were they going to vote for a Democrat? And many of them said, I don't want to vote for Trump, but I can't bring myself to vote for a Democrat. Imagine a universe in which there was some kind of moderate party, and the moderate party could decide who it was going to endorse. And maybe that moderate party would meet with then Vice President Harris and say, listen, if you will commit to a couple of our policy priorities, we will endorse you. And then some people who might not be willing to vote for you as a Democrat will be willing to vote for you on the moderate line. And at the end of the day, all the votes get added together. Or maybe those people, instead of Trump being able to assume that they would come home to the Republican Party, maybe the moderate party could meet with him and say, look, you need to make some promises to us. You need to promise to moderate yourself in certain ways. And if you do that, we will endorse you. So the idea is to create more power for voters by having third parties that actually have some leverage.
John, if I can, this effort's being supported by former Republican State Senate Majority Leader Dale Schultz, who is the co-chair of United Wisconsin. You are a former circuit court judge and a Republican appointee to the now it's something else Wisconsin Government Accountability Board. Do you see this as an opportunity for voters to have options for more moderate candidates that effectively speak to sort of the fat of the bell curve, which at some points in time, I feel like we're missing? Like, who's that voice in some races? Is that what's motivating you and your clients to get involved in this lawsuit?
Well, that is what's motivating United Wisconsin and our clients. And the answer, this will allow for more choice. Jeff mentioned this before, but there are three really important and interesting statistics, and they vary from month to month or poll to poll. But you have to start with the proposition that roughly a third, sometimes more than a third, of voters do not identify as either a Democrat or a Republican. That independent group or people who affiliate with the smaller parties has often been up around 40%. So the question is, and then another statistic is simply that the percent of people who have an unfavorable view of both parties has increased dramatically. In 1994, it was something like 6%, which I think people today would find surprising. And it meant that people didn't look at political parties badly. They might not agree with one party or another, but only 6% had an unfavorable view of both parties. And that's up to something like 28% now. So the question is, where do those people go, and shouldn't they have a choice that they do not have right now?
And on a personal note, I'll just say this and then toss it to Angela. John, for someone who's had people from both the right and left try to characterize my politics, I'm an economist and very socially liberal, but having served in government, I always viewed myself as a fiduciary of a taxpayer dollar and with a high desire to see the most efficient, transparent, and effective outcomes for taxpayers, and felt like we had an obligation to deliver that. And so tension, dissatisfaction, I feel very deeply in a lot of election cycles, especially in this moment where we're looking at a budget reconciliation bill that I think is going to pose challenges for a lot of middle-class families, and yet we have an exploding deficit, and what do we do about that as well? These are current challenges that will affect Republicans, Democrats, and the voters that are like, I ain't either of those two things. Angela, you had a great question for Jeff.
Yeah. So I think, you know, again, speaking from like an organizer, it's just like, ooh, okay, how do we explain this to people? Right. And so I'm curious, because I think there's going to be a whole educational component if this does happen. So curious of how we break this down, but specifically the difference between ranked choice voting and fusion voting. People may have heard of ranked choice or some places that have that. How do you all like distinguish between the two, and like what's an easy Cliff Notes way to educate folks on that?
Well, it's a great question. They're two different electoral reforms. I think most people believe that our politics aren't working right now and that there's something that we can do better. And so these are two different ways to try to solve that, and they are not incompatible. Ranked choice voting is an effort to have more candidates and then to just keep, you get to vote for all of them and rank them in order, and it reduces down until somebody gets a majority. This would be a different way to go about the problem. And it would say that multiple parties could nominate the same candidate and you aggregate the votes for each candidate. You could actually do them together. And I think there might be a couple of places that are experimenting with that. I want to go back very quickly to your question before, Angela, about organizing and pick up on something Maggie just said about sort of having heterodox politics, you know, being a little bit out of the ordinary. Mm-hmm. The other way that this can work organizing-wise is there are lots of voters who care more at any given time about one issue than others. So if Maggie, for example, reached a moment where she said, the budget is the most important thing to me, there might be a budget party that would endorse candidates regardless of their other positions because they were pledged to do the most about the budget. Or you might imagine in, you know, when I think about the work that Block does, you might imagine in a district attorney's race, in Milwaukee mm-hmm. County, saying, look, we know there's a lot going on, but these are our main issues. And whichever candidate comes closest to us on these main issues, we're endorsing that candidate. Mm-hmm. And so it really, I think that this is an incredibly powerful tool for organizing. Mm.
I hear that. I think there's a lot of education that can go behind it. But I also do think that like the long-term organizing, as you said, is something that I think is really interesting. I think also, again, of trying to build more a democracy, right? Because like our democracy only works when we have as much participation as possible, asterisk, given the current climate we're in, right? It's a little fragile, but how are we bringing more folks in and not turning people off because of the federal landscape, which I think is what's happening right now.
This is all about creating, you know, promoting competition, creating a more robust politics. Keep in mind that the reason that so many places around the country got rid of fusion voting, you know, more than a century ago, was because it worked. It was good for voters. And so we think if we can bring it back, is it a silver bullet that will solve everything about our politics? Almost certainly not. But is it one small piece that can help make things better? I think it really can.
Folks, we have got Angela Lang, my special guest co-host, with me this hour. We've got two special guests talking about fusion voting and the fact that it doesn't have to be like this, that we deserve better and it can be better. We've got John Franke of the law firm Gass Turek. He's a former Wisconsin Circuit Court judge and Republican appointee to the Government Accountability Board. He helps represent United Wisconsin, who filed a lawsuit. And I want to talk more about what's in the lawsuit and why this is a core constitutional right of every voter to have the option of fusion voting to see this work better. We've got Jeff Mandel, who is the president and general counsel of Law Forward. We've got each and every one of you. Stay with us. Come back on the other side. We got a question from Steve from Greene County and more discussion up next right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC.